Fall in love with easy savings at JCPenney's Friends and Family Sale. Make yourself cozy with up to 50% off savings across the store. Plus, take an extra 30% off with coupon now through Sunday. Bundle up with new men's and women's outerwear styles. Or warm up the family in exertion activewear. Plus, give your home a refresh for less. New fall styles, great fall savings. JCPenney. Offers and coupons valid through 10/10. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details. Fall in love with easy savings at JCPenney's Friends and Family Sale. Make yourself cozy with up to 50% off savings across the store. Plus, take an extra 30% off with coupon now through Sunday. Bundle up with new men's and women's outerwear styles. Or warm up the family in exertion activewear. Plus, give your home a refresh for less. New fall styles, great fall savings. JCPenney. Offers and coupons valid through 10/10. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details. Fall in love with easy savings at JCPenney's Friends and Family Sale. Make yourself cozy with up to 50% off savings across the store. Plus, take an extra 30% off with coupon now through Sunday. Bundle up with new men's and women's outerwear styles. Or warm up the family in exertion activewear. Plus, give your home a refresh for less. New fall styles, great fall savings. JCPenney. Offers and coupons valid through 10/10. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the National Football League. On this week's program, I have Carolina Teague. Carolina is the co-host of a program called The Sports Dime, which airs Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Central on KLUP AM 930 The Answer in San Antonio, Texas. And she also writes for the websites Sports As Told by a Girl and Pounding the Rock, which is dedicated to the San Antonio Spurs. And also, she's a ring announcer for the San Antonio-based wrestling promotion River City Wrestling. Carolina is a native of Chicago, and she is a diehard Chicago Bears fan. And I have her on to discuss the Bears game against the Detroit Lions, also the Bears offense and defense, also the Bears next game against the Las Vegas Raiders. We talk Justin Fields and so much more. That interview is coming up on this week's program. That was great always talking to Carolina. She's been back on the show before and gives us great knowledge on what she knows about the Chicago Bears. As always, before we get to the top three storylines, here's a recap of Week 4's most important games in the National Football League. Let's start off with the Thursday night game between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow with a fourth-quarter comeback. They get the field goal to win the game. Bengals beat the Jaguars. Final score 24-21. The Jaguars remain winless. Next game that we had was between the Kansas City Chiefs going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Chiefs come back, and they come back strong as they beat the Eagles. Final score 42-30. The Carolina Panthers squared off against the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys continue to be in top form as they would beat the Panthers 36-28, giving the Panthers their first loss of the season. We had an NFC West showdown between the Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers. Russell Wilson and the offense led their team to victory as the Seahawks beat the 49ers. Final score 28-21. The Arizona Cardinals squared off against the Los Angeles Rams. It was all Cardinals in this one. Arizona beats the Rams 37-20. The Pittsburgh Steelers squared off against the Green Bay Packers. This was the first time that Aaron Rodgers and Ben Roethlisberger played against one another since Super Bowl 45 in 2011. And the Packers would beat the Steelers at Lambeau Field. Final score, Green Bay 27, Pittsburgh 17. The Sunday night game was an emotional one between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New England Patriots. Tom Brady returns to Foxborough for the first time as an opponent. That's right, as an opposing quarterback, but the Buccaneers win a close one. Final score, 19-17. And on Monday Night Football, Justin Herbert, Austin Eckler, and the Los Angeles Chargers, and that defense, they reign supreme as they beat the Las Vegas Raiders. Chargers 28, Raiders 14. And those are the scores from Week 4's most important games in the National Football League. All right, it's time for me to get to my top three storylines. First up, Tom Brady returning to Foxborough. Yes, the anticipation was strong and it was real for this game. A lot of emotions were running high in this contest between the Buccaneers and the Patriots. Tom Brady returning to Foxborough for the first time, this time as an opponent in this game going up against the New England Patriots. We know about the fans and a lot of the journalists and so many people in the community still having a deep love and a deep appreciation for TB12. This game was emotional from start to finish. Here's Ryan Succop making a 48-yard field goal against the Patriots in the late minutes. Probably this was under 2 minutes in the contest in the fourth quarter.
This will be from 48. They got another break, though, because the clock stopped at 2:02, so they're going to get the two-minute warning and still have a timeout on the other side when they get the ball. But this is for the lead, and it is just inside the left upright.
All right, so again, that audio was courtesy of the National Football League and NBC Sports and Al Michaels on the call. So the Buccaneers were behind 17-16. Ryan Succop's 48-yard field goal gave the Buccaneers the lead 19-17. And with just maybe under 30 seconds in the game, New England had a chance to win the game. Patriots kicker Nick Folk had an opportunity to attempt the 56-yard field goal.
The line of scrimmage is the 37.
Career long is 56. I remind you, though, he has had that issue on his plant leg. This would match his longest ever. And if he hits this one in the rain with a bad plant leg, it would be one amazing night.
From 56. On its way. It is off the goalpost. No good. You can hear the doink.
And indeed, you could hear the doink. Again, that audio is courtesy of the National Football League and NBC Sports' Al Michaels on the call. So Nick Folk misses from 56 yards, and that put the cap on the game, and the Buccaneers would beat the Patriots, final score 19-17. So it was all of the emotion and then some leading up to this game with Brady returning to Foxborough, him going up against his former head coach, Bill Belichick, and just – so many things that happened throughout the course of this game. At the end of the game, Buccaneers quarterback Tom Brady gives a post-game interview, and Michelle Tafoya conducted the interview.
Tom, we just saw, I don't know how many handshakes and hugs you got after this game with all of your former teammates. What was that like?
Pretty surreal. You know, it's an amazing organization they have, and so many great guys that have been friends for a long time. So, what a great game. They got a really good football team. They made us earn it. We didn't do much in the red area. Our guys really fought it out. You know, this isn't our typical weather. We flew up here. It was really great to get a win. Proud of our team. I want to say hi to my parents. They're up there in the crowd somewhere. My wife, my kids. It's going to be a late night for them. But just an amazing night for our family. And great to win against a really good football team.
You have been in every big game situation imaginable.
Yeah.
But not like this.
Yep.
And so what were you experiencing out here tonight?
I was just trying to keep my poise. You know, I showed up to the stadium, and, you know, I knew kind of what we were going to be dealing with, and we're dealing with a really good football team. Obviously, they were really well prepared. I thought they made a lot of good plays. You know, we had a few too many penalties that really held us back, and, again, not our best in the red area, but good to get a win on the road. We had a tough one on the road last week, which was, tough game, but good to rebound and get a win up here in Foxborough.
When you first ran out onto the field tonight, the very first time, they were chanting your name. They were ready for you.
Yep.
How did you regain your focus? I can't imagine what that was like hearing that for you.
That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. You know, it's been my home for 20 years, so I had the best memories. My kids were born here. You know, it's just a great town. It's a great city. It's a great area. I love it up here. You know, I have so many people that I have relationships with. But, you know, this was about this team coming up here to win. This wasn't about one player. This was about our entire team to go on the road and beat a good team, which we did today.
But there was a milestone.
All right, and again, that audio is courtesy of the National Football League and NBC Sports. That was Michelle Tafoya conducting that interview with Tom Brady. So Brady said that he still has ties to the community, still has a deep love for the area and Foxborough and the Boston area in the New England region. And you can hear in his voice that despite getting that victory, he's still very much emotionally tied to Foxborough. And, man, as I stated earlier, this was worth the hype. This was worth all of the emotion and the intensity leading up to this game as Tom Brady walked into Gillette Stadium for the first time in his NFL career as an opposing quarterback going up against his former team and former head coach with Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. Could this may be the first and the only time that the Buccaneers and Patriots play each other in Brady's career because of the Bucs and the Patriots. They both play in two different conferences, Tampa Bay's in the NFC, New England's in the AFC. So if we see this game again, the earliest could be maybe in 2 years or 3 years or maybe 4 years, you know, depending on how the schedules run. But it was definitely worth the hype. It was definitely worth the wait, and it was all of that and then some. So Brady returns to Foxborough. New England fans, bittersweet because again they didn't get the win, but they got a chance to see TB12 Tom Brady back in Foxborough, back at Gillette Stadium for the first time in 2 years. So definitely. Definitely one to remember, definitely a game that's going to be remembered for years to come. My next storyline is going to be the two New York teams, the Giants and the Jets. Both were winless coming into their games. The New York Giants marched down to the Superdome and played the New Orleans Saints in a very thrilling game that went to overtime. Here's how that ended.
3-yard pass play. First and goal from the New Orleans 6 as Barkley takes it to the goal line. He's in. Giants win in overtime. Saquon Barkley from 6 yards out. The New York Giants complete their comeback. Down 11 in the fourth quarter. Plays are reviewed. They will have a look.
He's in. That's a touchdown. He's in.
And yet, indeed, the play was reviewed, and it was a touchdown. That audio courtesy of the National Football League and Fox Sports. That was Kenny Albert on the call as New York Giants running back Saquon Barkley scored the game-winning touchdown in overtime to give the New York Giants a 27-21 victory. So congratulations to the New York Giants on getting their first victory of the season. And, man, this may be the game that saved their season. Who knows? But I tell you one thing, Daniel Jones, he looked very impressive in this game at the Dome in New Orleans in one of the toughest places to play in the NFL. He passed for over 400 yards in this contest. And Saquon Barkley, shades of the old Saquon, he looked much more comfortable in this game. We know he had suffered a brutal ACL injury last season, so could this be the game that could turn the tide for the Giants? They play in the NFC East, so we can only take it week by week and game by game. But nevertheless, the New York Giants got their first victory of the year by beating the New Orleans Saints. And as for the other team in New York, that's right, the New York Jets. The New York Jets came into this game against the Tennessee Titans winless. They had lost some very close games. They just couldn't get it together. Rookie quarterback Zach Wilson played a really good game. Excuse me, against the Tennessee Titans. And, again, they went to overtime as well. And Tennessee Titans kicker Randy Bullock had a chance to tie the game in overtime to continue the overtime period. Here's how this happened.
You know, if it's 4th-and-6, 4th-and-7, 4th-and-5, 4th-and-3, but you also got to take into consideration the time on the clock, 19 seconds. With no time left, right? I think there was no timeouts. I think this is the only choice you could make if you're Mike Vrabel.
49 yards for the tie. On its way, and he missed it! The New York Jets have won their first game of the season. And what a way to do it, in overtime.
And indeed, they did it in a great way. Again, that audio courtesy of the National Football League and CBS Sports. That was Greg Gumbel on the call. And again, the New York Jets beat the Tennessee Titans in overtime, 27-24. Zach Wilson had passed for nearly 300 yards in this game, and he had two touchdown passes. Now, despite Derrick Henry going crazy in this game, rushing for over 150 yards, but the Jets were very aggressive in this game against the Titans. And, man, this game could have went either way. But New York, they held on. And, again, they got off to a slow start. But they were able to get going, especially in the second half where they were able to turn things up. So congratulations again to the New York Jets. And congratulations to first-year head coach Robert Saleh on getting his first career NFL win as a head coach. So hopefully maybe this could be the stepping stone for more wins to come for the remainder of this NFL season. And for my last storyline is going to be Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, during the offseason, signed a one-year, $12 million contract with the New Orleans Saints, while Taysom Hill became the NFL's highest-paid backup quarterback when he got a two-year, $28.5 million extension. Jameis said he came to New Orleans last year to get a Harvard education on how to play the quarterback position. To get an Ivy League education on how to play the quarterback position, and that's why he came to New Orleans to learn under Sean Payton, Drew Brees. Now, when Jameis was made the starting quarterback, Coach Payton said, Jameis is our guy. He's going to be the one to make it happen. He did very well in the preseason. We're giving him the keys to the car. We're going to let him drive. Okay, in the Packers game, he had five touchdown passes, played a flawless game in this contest. The next game against Carolina, not so much. Two interceptions, looked very flat in his game. September 26th, the game against the New England Patriots, Jameis was able to get his in. He made his contribution felt. Two touchdown passes. And the game that just passed in week four against the New York Giants had only a touchdown pass. Now, in the wins against the Packers and the Patriots, there were moments in all of those games where Taysom Hill would come in at quarterback quite often and get his plays in. And, you know, there was some critical play calling, particularly in this Giants game, within the last over 8 minutes in the fourth quarter. Jameis had the hot hand in this game. I don't know why they did not let him finish the game at quarterback, but, of course, we know Sean Payton loves Taysom Hill. So with that being said, Taysom got some snaps at quarterback. He throws an interception. And then I believe Jameis didn't get any more snaps at quarterback till maybe relatively late in the fourth quarter. But they basically ran with the Taysom Hill show from then on out. So the question I want to know is this. I don't know, but it seems as though they still have the training wheels on Jameis Winston in terms of handling the offense, in terms of how he conducts the offense. Is Sean Payton thinking, from how Jameis was from 2 years ago, if he's throwing a lot of interceptions and costing them games? And or is it just because he has, you know, he still believes that Taysom Hill can be the successor to Sean, the successor to Drew Brees? There's so many questions that are very foggy in New Orleans with the quarterback position. It just seems very murky that Jameis Winston is not really they're not really letting Jameis Winston lead as the quarterback of the New Orleans Saints. It's almost like a situation where he's being tolerated, but he's not being celebrated. It seems as though, with all the talent that Jameis has, it just seems that they're still trying to find ways to make the Taysom Hill project work in New Orleans. It's almost the equivalent of putting a square peg in a round hole. It just, no matter what, it just seems like we're going to try to make this thing work somehow, some way. And it just seems that they're conservative with Jameis at the quarterback position. There were moments in the Giants game where he made some big plays to Marquez Callaway, Juwan Johnson, Deontay Harris. He got his as well. But overall, it just seems as though Coach Payton is tolerating him but not celebrating him. You know, will he be back in New Orleans next year? I don't know. It looks highly doubtful, but it's still early, very early in the NFL season. But, man, it's just not looking good. Fans are of course, in New Orleans, you know, they voice their opinions about a lot of things, and especially when it comes to their Saints. So we'll see how it unfolds with the Saints going forward, because the schedule's not going to get easy right after the bye week. Right after the Washington game, there's a bye week, and then there's the Monday night game at Seattle against Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. So we're going to see how this thing plays out, man. It's going to be a long one for the New Orleans Saints. All right, that takes care of the first two segments on the program. When we come back from the break, I have an interview with Carolina Teague. She's the co-host of a program called The Sports Dime, which airs on KLUP AM 930, The Answer in San Antonio, Texas. She's a native of Chicago, and we're going to talk about Chicago Bears football. The Bears win against the Detroit Lions in Week 4. Also, we'll talk Justin Fields, the Bears' next game against the Las Vegas Raiders. Also, we'll talk about the future of Soldier Field. She's coming up in segment number 2 of the program. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to The League Wraparound.
You're mastering the sourdough. Your cold brew is homemade. You can flip a pancake without touching a spatula. Yes, your culinary skills have improved over the past year. But don't stop there. Talk to the experts at Best Buy to get the latest tech to take your food to the next level. Cooking chops unlocked. Details at BestBuy.com.
Protect your pet this flea and tick season with Chewy. Find everything from flea collars and sprays to prescriptions that keep pests away. Chewy has what you need to keep tails wagging all season long. Save on pet prescriptions and more. Visit Chewy.com today.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the GetUpside app?
Yes, up to 25 cents a gallon. Cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
Some months, I make 200 to 300 bucks.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free GetUpside app now.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents a gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code FILL for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next fill-up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code FILL for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code FILL.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using GetUpside, the free gas app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the GetUpside app?
Yes, up to 25 cents a gallon. Cash back every time I buy gas.
Does that actually add up to anything?
Some months, I make 200 to 300 bucks.
Wow, that's serious extra cash. I'm downloading the free GetUpside app now.
Download the free GetUpside app now in the App Store or Google Play to save up to 25 cents a gallon when you buy gas. Use promo code FILL for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's up to 50 cents a gallon on your next fill-up. You can cash out anytime to PayPal or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free GetUpside app and use promo code FILL for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code FILL.
San Marcos, natural spaces and chill-out places, where you can float, kayak, or swim the Springside San Marcos River. Experience our live music and local art scene. Go to visit sanmarcos.com or visit SMTX on Instagram.
Fall in love with easy savings at JCPenney's Friends and Family Sale. Make yourself cozy with up to 50% off savings across the store. Plus, take an extra 30% off with coupon now through Sunday. Bundle up with new men's and women's outerwear styles. Or warm up the family in exertion activewear. Plus, give your home a refresh for less. New fall styles, great fall savings. JCPenney. Offers and coupons valid through 10/10. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Oh, yeah.
Fall. all in love with easy savings at JCPenney's Friends and Family Sale. Make yourself cozy with up to 50% off savings across the store. Plus, take an extra 30% off with coupon now through Sunday. Bundle up with new men's and women's outerwear styles. Or warm up the family in Exertion activewear. Plus, give your home a refresh for less. New fall styles, great fall savings. JCPenney. Offers and coupons valid through 10/10. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Get Wendy's bacon or sausage egg and Swiss breakfast croissant for $1.99. This hot buttery croissant is fluffy enough to sleep on. Wakey, wakey! Get a better breakfast for just $1.99. Only at Wendy's.
Limited time only. U.S. price and participation may vary. Third-party delivery prices may vary. Not valid in the combo.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with Geico, we hired a scary movie victim.
Oh no, a tree fell on my car, and there's only one thing to do. Trip over my own feet and pull myself across the lawn while yelling help at a barely audible volume.
Sorry to interrupt, but you filed a claim with Geico, so you've got a designated claims team to help you.
This Geico sounds suspiciously reassuring. Are you sure I don't end up getting surprised with an unexpected twist?
Just that your Geico team will always be there to keep you updated.
No!
What is it?
Oh, nothing. I just didn't see that coming.
Geico. Great service without all the drama.
MRI is 50 years young. So just how far have we come?
Scientists around the world now use MRI routinely to study the mechanisms of how the brain goes about its daily functions, how we see the world, how we remember things.
Listen to this episode of Shaping the Future of Healthcare at Siemens-Healthineers.com/MRI podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fall in love with easy savings at JCPenney's Friends and Family Sale. Make yourself cozy with up to 50% off savings across the store. Plus, take an extra 30% off with coupon now through Sunday. Bundle up with new men's and women's outerwear styles. Or warm up the family in Exertion activewear. Plus, give your home a refresh for less. New fall styles, great fall savings. JCPenney. Offers and coupons valid through 10/10. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Come explore the new Total Wine & More and discover the lowest prices and largest selection in the state. Explore over 8,000 wines. Our helpful guides will help you pick the perfect one. Over 2,500 beers, including 800 local favorites, perfect for game day or your crawfish boil. And over 3,000 spirits with the lowest prices in Louisiana. You can even order delivery or curbside pickup. So come explore your new Total Wine & More at 7074 Segan Lane in Baton Rouge.
Fall in love with easy savings at JCPenney's Friends and Family Sale. Make yourself cozy with up to 50% off savings across the store. Plus, take an extra 30% off with coupon now through Sunday. Bundle up with new men's and women's outerwear styles. Or warm up the family in Exertion activewear. Plus, give your home a refresh for less. New fall styles, great fall savings. JCPenney. Offers and coupons valid through 10/10. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
You could bring home the bacon, but why stop there? When you shop with Albertsons for You, you can bring home the entire breakfast. The bacon, the eggs, the pancakes, and more. You can bring home great rewards, personalized deals, and points to redeem on groceries and gas. You can even bring home a free treat on your birthday. Sounds like we're gonna need a bigger frying pan. Become a free Albertsons for You member today. No purchase necessary. Download the Albertsons Deals and Delivery app and feed your joy. Visit Albertsons.com/for you for program details.
Field. With time, delivers down the field. Tom Murray still running. And he'll dive down inside the 30. Bobby Price got him. But a big time pass, a 64-yard gain for the first foul pick.
Hey, it was Sunday,
Damian Williams in it, running back now. Play fake, Fields, set, delivers deep. Got it! Allen Robinson! 28 yards! Justin Fields is pitching that rock today! Metzler at a first down and goal.
180, what's that?
Here's a handoff to Montgomery. Breaks it inside, still on his feet, pushing the pass! Chicago, 9 yards, the hard way. hands it off. Montgomery. And a 5-yard gain, but Montgomery is hurt. He's grabbing his legs. I hate to see this.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and Fox Sports. And, of course, that was Gus Johnson on the play-by-play call of the Week 4 game between the Chicago Bears and the Detroit Lions. The Bears would go on to win that game, final score 24-14. To talk more about that game as well as the Bears' next game, we want to welcome her back to the program, somebody that's I've had her on before. She's really, really cool, a diehard, dedicated Chicago Bears fan, and also she's the host of the Sports Dime on Sundays at 10 a.m. on 9:30 The Answer in San Antonio, Texas, and also she does some other cool stuff as well. Let's welcome her back to the program, Carolina Teague. Hey, Carolina, welcome back.
Thank you for having me back.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So, Carolina, first things first, what were your takeaways from the Bears' victory over the Detroit Lions?
I think the biggest takeaway that I got from it is that Bill Lazor needs to be calling more of the offensive plays for the Chicago Bears. Leading up to this point, Matt Nagy was not alluding to who he would be allowing to call the plays, but it was quite evident during the first or second quarter of the Chicago Bears game against the Detroit Lions that Bill Lazor was making the plays because Justin Fields was looking up into the skybox for his audible. So it was quite evident at that point that it wasn't Coach Nagy. And, of course, I think that was the biggest takeaway for the Chicago Bears. Justin Fields started. That was also a good plus. He was able to connect with wide receivers, made some really good plays down the field. And, of course, the rushing game played fantastic as well. And the Chicago Bears utilized the rush game for the most part against the Lions in order to pull off this win. The unfortunate part is that David Montgomery went down, but everything else, they looked phenomenal. I think the biggest takeaway, like I said, though, is that Matt Nagy's not calling the offensive plays, and you see the product on the field when they do that.
Wow, good point right there, because it seemed like the Bears' passing game, I mean, we know what the Bears' running game is going to bring to the table, but that Bears' passing game looked pretty fluid in this game against Detroit. Well, let's get now to the Bears' offense, and I want to start off with the running game for a moment. Of course, David Montgomery got hurt in this one. We'll talk more about the injury in just a little bit, but I'm looking at the stats here. David had 23 carries for 106 yards and 2 rushing touchdowns, and also a Damian Williams, a former member of the Kansas City Chiefs. He had 8 carries for 55 yards and a touchdown. Just kind of go more into detail, if you can, Carolina, about Chicago's running game and the victory against the Lions.
Their running game, when they're on point, they're spectacular. And, of course, they're going to capitalize on all the open holes in any given team that they're playing for that particular week. The Lions' rush defense isn't that great when it comes to, obviously, doing the rush. So I think that, you know, they utilize the run game properly, and the run game did an effective job against the Detroit Lions.
Solid, solid. And, of course, you mentioned it, and I mentioned it as well, David Montgomery suffered a leg injury in this game. The good news is that they feared that it would have been a torn ACL, but that was not the case. So David will be returning this season. Can you go more into detail about the information, like with how long David is going to be out and just the extent of his injury?
Sure. So he has a sprained left knee, and they're expecting him to be out of playing for about 4 to 5 weeks, which is a significant amount of time for the Chicago Bears, just to be honest with you. David Montgomery is a huge part of the Chicago Bears running game. He's their most explosive player. So losing David Montgomery for about 4 to 5 weeks is a huge loss for the Chicago Bears. And their running game is going to have to come up with a new game plan in order to be effective during those plays. One of the important things about the Chicago Bears is that the running game is used importantly because, as you can see with Coach Nagy's playbook, he's not able to open the passing game a lot more with his players, albeit this current game that you saw with the Detroit Lions and Bill Lazor making the calls. So hopefully they utilize the passing game more in the next upcoming weeks. So losing David Montgomery is a huge blow to the Chicago Bears, and I'm just really, really disappointed that he's gone, but I also am glad, like you said, that it's not something worse, like a torn ACL or something of that nature.
Right. With the running game, Damian Williams, he scored a touchdown in this contest. Now, Damian Williams has championship experience. He was a member of the Super Bowl winning team for the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you think we'll see Damian run a little bit more? Because I know Damian's MO in Kansas City was primarily being a receiving back. He was a running back that was coming out of the backfield and catching passes. So do you think we'll see Damian run a little bit more? Or like you said, do you think we'll see Bill Lazor open up more of the passing game?
I think in this particular upcoming game against the Raiders, they have issues with their pass protection. So I think they're going to be utilizing the passing plays more in this game regardless. But even with David Montgomery out, the thing about Damian Williams is that he's set to be Chicago's lead running back in the event that David Montgomery is injured. Damian Williams suffered a thigh bruise this past Sunday against the Lions, so they're going to have an update on him this upcoming Wednesday to see if he's going to be able to even play. But I don't know what the third option would be if he were to be questionable or out for that game against the Raiders.
All right, fair enough. And now let's get to the passing attack. The receivers played, particularly Darnell Mooney played extremely well in this game, probably one of the best game he's had so far in this early part of the NFL season. He had 5 catches for 125 yards. Just give me your thoughts on Darnell and how he played in this game.
I think Darnell Mooney is a great wide receiver. I don't think he's one of the best in the NFL, but I think he's decent as a wide receiver, and he can get the ball where it needs to be as long as you put the ball in his hands. And I think Justin Fields did a great job of using both wide receivers, Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney. So it was really interesting to see Justin Fields being able to utilize all the wide receivers that the Chicago Bears have. That's something that we kind of don't get to see every now and then. So he was effectively able to use both, and that's what you see as the end result product, is that Darnell Mooney has a great game because it's being thrown to multiple people at different times.
All right, and then, of course, Allen Robinson, who's been the top receiver for the Bears for the last several years, and he had 3 catches for 63 yards, and Allen got some action in this one as well. Just give me your thoughts on Allen and his play in this contest.
He did a great job as well. I can't knock Allen Robinson for anything he does. He's the best wide receiver that the Chicago Bears have. And I think for this game, for these moments, even though he had 3 catches, they still used their wide receivers effectively, which is something that Bears fans and people who follow the Bears have been wanting to see for a long time. All we tend to see is rush, 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 and short passes. We saw a lot of deep dimes and everything that we wanted to see as a fan. So I think overall, Bill Lazor calling the plays and making deep throws and just opening up the playbook for Justin Fields to be mobile, and him showing his mobility by avoiding sacks is just a treat that, you know, we get to watch as fans.
All right, and then speaking of fans for years have been excited, have been fans of the running game, which you talked about earlier, Carolina, because the running game and defense have really been the bread and butter of the Chicago franchise for so many decades, and the defense showed up big in this contest. I want to start off with Alec Ogletree for a moment. He led the team in tackles with 10. Just give me your thoughts on Alec and his performance.
I think he's done an incredible job as, you know, being on the team. He's done an incredible job. I think that what it is more so is the defensive coordinator. It's no longer Chuck Pagano. I think I believe it's Sean DeHaes is the defensive coordinator. He's doing a great job with utilizing people like Ogletree, people like Robert Quinn effectively, and then they just show up and make big plays. I think it's nice to see the Chicago Bears using their players effectively.
All right, and then another person that did well on the defensive side is Roquan Smith. Man, what a player he's been since his short time he's been in Chicago. He had 8 tackles and 1 sack in this game. Just give me your thoughts on Roquan and how he played.
Roquan always does a great job. I've always been a fan of Roquan Smith. He's a pro bowler. He's always done an incredible job just overall on the defensive end of the ball. And he's always been able to make big plays when it matters. So seeing him play great this past game doesn't surprise me. Like I said, seeing the defense, it doesn't look as great as it was, obviously, 5 years ago. But it does look great now. And I think, dare I say, it kind of looks a little bit better than last year.
All right, sweet. And then Robert Quinn, 5 tackles and a sack in this game. We know how explosive Robert has been in his since his time in the NFL. Just give me your thoughts on Robert and how he played.
So last year, Robert wasn't really a huge impact on the Chicago Bears defense. He was kind of non-existent, it seemed like, and it kind of seemed like a waste of money for bringing him on from the Cowboys. And he had suffered with multiple injuries. Well, he had injuries in the beginning of the season, and his injuries may have been worse than we had been told. But it looks like this season, Robert Quinn is standing out a whole lot more. Like I said, with Sean Desai, the defensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears, he's able to use Robert Quinn a whole lot better than he has been able to use, or than Chuck Pagano was able to use him last year when he was non-existent. This year, they're lining him up against Khalil Mack, which when you are an offensive line, you're going to be looking out for Khalil Mack. They're lining up Robert Quinn next to Khalil Mack, it seems like, at all times, and he's able to utilize and get, you know, tackles, and or he's able to get big tackles whenever he's, or big tackles and big sacks at any given moment. Because I think usually people's offensive lines, they go for Khalil Mack first, but and they think Robert Quinn is not a threat, but he most definitely is. And I think he's actually one of the people that I believe is one of the most standout players in the NFL this season because of his comeback. Like as far as comeback player of the year is concerned, he should definitely be in the standing, but obviously you would see that it would probably go to Dak Prescott or something like that, who's more popular. But I do think he has potential to be a comeback big name in the NFL.
Okay, and speaking of the name that you mentioned earlier, Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack only had a tackle, but he had a sack in this contest. But Khalil's presence is very much felt in this defense with Chicago. Just give me your thoughts on Khalil and how he played.
Khalil Mack, I think he played well in this particular game. I think when they line him up one-on-one against a running back, he's able to make big plays. But usually when he's double-team and triple-team is when he has issues. I think for this particular game, he played a great job, even though he didn't have as big of a game as Robert Quinn, because I think he's the scapegoat, it seems like, when it comes to everybody wants to, you know, get to him first. I think his presence there allows the defense to be more effective on that side of the ball.
All right, and then that takes care of the defense. So now I want to bring up Justin Fields for a moment. Again, Justin got his first, correct me if I'm wrong, his second win as an NFL starting quarterback. So, you know, he was only 11 of 17 for 209 yards, and he had the interception. But nevertheless, he made plays when need be. Just give me your thoughts on Justin and how well he played in this game.
I think Justin should be QB1, and it's a shame that he hasn't been named publicly as QB1 as of yet. He is a treat to the Chicago Bears organization. All the fans love him. I think he's the second calling of quarterbacks. It's something that the Chicago Bears organization has needed, a facelift when it comes to the quarterback position. And him being able to be productive and get those wins when somebody like Bill Lazor is calling the plays, it just shows that he is able to get wins. He's able to be effective. He's able to be mobile like he was at Ohio State. He's able to make big-time plays, big-time throws. And he just has that leadership mentality and that leadership energy that the Chicago Bears offense always seems to lack a big presence of. So I think Justin Fields being on the Chicago Bears team as a starting quarterback, whenever he's able to be the starting quarterback, is a huge, huge morality boost for the entire Chicago Bears team.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I see the big difference when he's out there on the field. And by the way, he's won two career games. This is his he's had two career victories so far as the quarterback of the Bears. And I want to stay with Justin for a moment because Carolina, I know we've talked about the issues of the quarterback position for such a long time with the Bears franchise. Why is it that, I don't know, maybe you can answer this question a little bit better. Matt Nagy, I mean, he's still insisting that Andy Dalton is still his guy for whatever reasons, but why is it that he's warmed up to Justin Fields? It's like, okay, you've got this. You're the quarterback. You're the one that we want to take over going forward.
Well, the thing is, he hasn't done that yet, and that's the issue that everyone's having with him. He's still insistent, as of yesterday, that QB1 is going to be Andy Dalton no matter what. Then it's going to be Justin Fields. So that's the thing that frustrates Bears fans and Bears media and everybody who watches the Bears really closely the most about them. He is refusing to announce Justin Fields as QB1, even though Justin Fields got his first career win yesterday, and when he did start on his second win, or when they had their second win of the season, he was able to make big-time plays. even though Andy Dalton was QB1 at that position. The issue that Coach Nagy has, I believe, is an ego, and he refuses to say that he was wrong and that Justin Fields needs to be quarterback one. Some people disagree with me. Some people think that Justin Fields needs time to develop first. I completely disagree. I'm the type of person who wants wins right then and there. So Justin Fields being quarterback one, it's something that they need to make the announcement about. They need to stop playing mental manipulation, mind games with the public, and they need to have Justin Fields as the permanent quarterback one position.
Yeah, I agree with you on that, too. I think if they drafted him, I think they're going to have to give him the keys and just let him drive and make the mistakes with him along the way. I think that's just ridiculous right there. But, hey, I mean, again, we don't know what's going on in the organization or with the franchise, and I guess the McCaskies are letting Coach Nagy make the decisions on that. So now let's get to the Bears' next game, which will be against the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders lost a tough one to Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers on Monday night. So we know about Derek Carr. We know about Coach Gruden, and they love to throw the ball. The Raiders' MO is throwing the football. So, Carolina, what must the Bears' defense do to neutralize the Raider offense?
Well, they're going to have to be more deep to neutralize the Bears' defense. The Bears' defense, they're going to have to be more deep and play more in the field. They can't be in the pocket or in the box too much because they're going to be utilizing the pass protection. They're a very pass-heavy team, and the defense is going to have to be effective for Chicago Bears, and I think that they will be able to be effective. The issue that I see for the Chicago Bears is their running game issue. They're supposed to be heavily relying on the pass protection because Raiders are one of the most least favorite when it comes to pass protection in the NFL. And the Chicago Bears are great in their rush defense as well. So they're for sure going to have to rely on the passing game on both sides of the ball. But I think the main issue for the Chicago Bears coming up is that running game.
Yeah, definitely. And that's going to be a transition into the next topic. So now, Raider defense. We know that the Raiders defense is pretty solid with the likes of Max Crosby. And the Raiders defense are going to be going up against the Bears offense. Now, we talked about this, and you mentioned it, excuse me, Caroline, about the running game, how that's going to be issue. So let's just hypothetically say that Justin Fields is the starting quarterback for this game. How much pressure would it be on him for the Bears to really get things going in terms of the passing game against this Raider defense?
There's going to be a ton of pressure. The Chicago Bears have always had offensive line issues, but now we're starting to see the exposure of that. It's more so how Matt Nagy constructs their particular plays. Hopefully with Bill Lazor at the helm of the offense, maybe he's able to provide more protection for Justin Fields, which was their goal during the Detroit Lions game. You can see they protected him a lot more, and I think that they need to utilize that same method, protect Justin Fields more, allow him to get the ball down the field, and I think that that could be their winning recipe if they take the win in Las Vegas.
Awesome, awesome. And you heard it from Carolina Teague recapping the Bears' victory against the Lions, also talking the Bears' offense, defense, Justin Fields, and the Bears' next game against the Las Vegas Raiders. Carolina, there's been a lot of talk in the news recently about the Bears and their lease going to be coming up within in the future at Soldier Field. So the future looks a little bleak in terms of the Bears playing at Soldier Field. There's been talks about the organization could be breaking the lease and they may want to play outside of Chicago, maybe near the practice facility. You can tell me I'm wrong, and in Bourbonnais. Can you go more into detail about what the Bears plan to do in the current with their lease at Soldier Field and the possibility of them building a new stadium?
I definitely think that they have plans on building a new stadium with the purchase of this property. Michael McCaskey, one of the owners of the Chicago Bears, was attempting to play in the suburbs over 25 years ago, but it never happened. And it's going to be a really expensive investment for the McCaskeys. They're a very conservative organization at the top. However, I think it's time for the Chicago Bears to move to a more upgraded field. Chicago Bears are one of the highest grossing football teams. They're worth well over $4 billion. And it just makes sense to give them a stadium that will give them a complete facelift. Now, you could do all of these things, give them a great stadium and do all that stuff. But if the team isn't performing, to me, it's like putting lipstick on a pig. But I do think that they deserve a better stadium. Now, Soldier Field does have a lot of history, and Soldier Field is one of the – I think it's the – or no, Lambeau Field. Between Lambeau Field and Soldier Field, they're the oldest fields in the NFL. So it's going to be pretty sad, you know, leaving Soldier Field. But I think it's time for the Chicago Bears to get an upgrade and a much-needed facelift for their arena.
That's not going to be a great day when the Bears have to leave Soldier Field. And just watching Bears games over the years at Soldier Field is just a great venue to it's a great venue to watch football games, and just to see that the backdrop of Lake Michigan is incredible. And like
spectacular. Yeah, it's spectacular. That's the part that's going to be sad. Yeah,
it's going to be a very sad day, not just for Bears fans, but for football fans or sports fans in general. And like you mentioned, with Lambeau Field, Soldier Field, the two oldest stadiums in the NFL. I want to get back to, you mentioned about Michael McCaskey, where he said the plans were in works 25 years ago for this. Why didn't it happen then?
More than like, I have no idea why, honestly. I don't know why it never fell through. I'm sure it had to do with the McCaskeys being conservative, because Virginia McCaskey is the owner of the Bears organization. I think it more so was a collective decision not to proceed with the building of a new stadium, maybe because of cost, you know, measures. And then also, I'm sure they took in the accountability, the historic nostalgia that comes with Soldier Field, the view, like you said. The issue with Soldier Field is that it's old, it's deteriorating. I mean, if anything, I would say give it a makeover, you know, and keep that great view. Or maybe they could possibly another thing, too, is that the seating is an issue as well. They don't have enough people to accommodate their huge fan base, and their tickets are pretty expensive. I think with the new upgraded stadium, they would have way more seats, and they would be able to accommodate more affordable tickets to offset the cost of those seats.
How long? I think they were. You can correct me if I'm wrong about this. The mayor of Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, was trying to get. I think. Let me see. Is the lease at Soldier Field up until? Is it 2033, or is it like in the next few years or so? Do you know more information about that?
Let me see. The lease goes until 2033, but they could break the lease in 2026, which is in 5 years, and it would cost them $84 million.
Oh, wow. Do you think they'll be willing to break the lease, or do you think they're just going to go into 2033, considering, like you mentioned, how conservative the organization is, especially when it comes to finances?
That's a tough call, honestly, but I think one of the key red flags I saw was that purchase of that property. So it seems like they're going to move forward to Arlington Heights, and they're going to pay that pretty price to break that lease at Soldier Field. And it's a fraction, though, of how much they could earn by owning its own stadium. So there are financial benefits if they own their own stadium in Arlington Heights, but if they don't own it outright, obviously, they're going to make less money. So I see the plus and the minuses. It does seem like they're going to pay that pretty price, and they're going to move to Arlington Heights, it seems.
So with the move that is expected to be made to Arlington Heights, will it be public transportation friendly for fans that would like to take Chicago Transit to the games? Will that be available to those people?
I have no idea what they are, but I'm sure they've thought about those things as well, how people are going to be able to get there from Chicago if the train goes in their direction. I think they've considered that when they pick their location. So I'm sure they figured out all the logistics when it comes to travel and location. Similar to what they do with, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, people have like, you know, buses that go that way and things like that in order to accommodate people coming in from Dallas to go visit the Dallas games. I think the Chicago Bears organization took into account all of those factors before they decided to make that purchase of that property.
Will the stadium be outdoors like Soldier Field, or will this be a stadium like maybe AT&T Stadium or like SoFi Stadium where there's a dome, or maybe like a retractable roof or something like that?
I honestly don't know. They haven't said – well, first they haven't confirmed that they will be building a new stadium. So when they confirm that they'll be building a new stadium, it would be interesting to see what they decide to do. Now, if they are at Arlington Heights and there's no view, I would say that there's no reason to have a roofless field. I think they definitely need a rooftop type of field, especially when it's cold, freezing weathers in Chicago and a lot of rain. I think that a roof would be beneficial. However, if there's a beautiful view, I really don't know that location really well, but if there's a really beautiful view, then who's to say that they're going to have, not like a roofless roof. I think retractable would honestly be the best option.
Okay, it's always interesting when you said retractable would be the best option. When I think of Chicago Bear football, I just think outdoors and the elements and stuff like that. That's gonna be interesting right there. I want to ask you, do you know what's going to happen whenever that day comes? What's going to happen to Soldier Field? Or is it going to remain used in Chicago? Are they going to use it for certain things? What's going to happen to it?
That's what I want to know. They haven't even said, what the plans are for Soldier Field, but it's such an iconic place. It would suck to see it be demolished. I think that would be too dramatic. So I don't see it being demolished. I hope it doesn't get demolished. I hope that they use it for maybe soccer leagues or maybe D-League when it comes to football or things of that nature. But I hope they do something useful with Soldier Field and turn it into something that could be productive. However, the last thing I would want to see is the Soldier Field getting demolished right away. That would be really hard for the city to take. It would be hard for me to take, watching Soldier Field just, hey, we're over it. We're going to demolish Soldier Field, which is iconic.
Yeah, that would be terrible. I hope they can keep it around for much longer and find a use for it, concerts or whatever. So let's hope and pray it stays up. And, again, she's Carolina Teague. And, Carolina, tell everybody again what you do as the host of the Sports Dime on 9:30 The Answer in San Antonio.
I'm the host of the Sports Dime in San Antonio from 10 to 11 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. The Answer. And I talk all things sports. I talk about things that I feel like talking about. And, of course, I have guests on from time to time. So it's a really fun show. We do a lot of giveaways. And we mainly talk about, San Antonio Spurs, Dallas Cowboys, a lot of Texas stuff that's going on. But I have no problem with talking about my favorite team from time to time, which is the Chicago Bears. So I really love getting the opportunity to talk about them. So thank you so much for bringing me on.
Oh, you're welcome. And also you write for Sports as Told by a Girl and also Pounding the Rock. Just tell everybody briefly what you do with those outlets.
Awesome. So, yes, I did just announce yesterday that I am writing for Pounding the Rock. Pounding the Rock is the SB Nation coverage for San Antonio Spurs. I'm going to be writing for them during the regular season. And for Sports as Told by a Girl is more of a casual writing for me. I like to write about things that make my heart smile, kind of like writing about boxing or the Bears or things that make me happy. I'll write articles about that. So I definitely love both blogs. They're great blogs. If you ever want to check them out, it's sportsastoldbyagirl.com and poundingtherock.com for SB Nation.
Awesome. And also, you are a ring announcer as well in the world of professional wrestling. Just tell everybody what you do on that end.
Yes. Yeah, so I'm also a wrestling ring announcer as well. I love RCW wrestling. I like ring announcing. It's actually really fun. It's one thing to talk on the radio, but then it's another thing we have to get on stage and keep a crowd energized and, just hype everyone up for a great wrestling event. I love River City Wrestling. It's an independent professional wrestling company in San Antonio. They have big stars that have been on AEW, WWE, and Ring of Honor. There's so many great talent that goes through River City Wrestling, and I'm just honored to be a part of that entire organization.
Awesome, awesome. And Carolina, tell everybody again where they can find you on social media and any websites, any platforms you want to promote, let them know that as well.
Yes, you can find me on CarolinaT_ at Twitter and on Instagram.
Awesome, awesome. And you heard it from her. She's Carolina Teague. She's the host of the Sports Dime. Check her out Sundays at 10 a.m. on 9:30 The Answer in San Antonio, Texas. And also a Chicago native and a diehard Bears fan talking about Chicago Bears football. Carolina, thank you again. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Yes, I'd love to come on, especially when the Chicago Bears are the hot topic. I definitely love to come on to, you know, talk to you guys about it. You guys always treat me well, so thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Welcome. Thank you again, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Thank you.
With time, delivered down on the field. Inside the 30, Bobby Price got him. But a big-time pass, a 64-yard game for the first foul pick.
Hey, on Sunday, on Sunday, on Sunday.
Damian Williams in at running back now. Play fake, field, set, delivers deep.
First down and goal. Here's a handoff to Montgomery. Breaks it inside. Still on his feet. Pushing the pile. Touchdown, Chicago. 9 yards. The hard way.
The Inspiration 4 orbital mission is full of firsts, and its diverse all-civilian crew shows how space exploration could become more accessible to more people in the future.
We are writing the narrative of human spaceflight right now. And what do we want that to look like?
That's Dr. Cyan Proctor, one of the crew members of Inspiration 4. Hear how their mission will also help fund treatments for childhood cancer in the series St. Jude Mission of a Lifetime. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Come explore the new Total Wine & More and discover the lowest prices and largest selection in the state. Explore over 8,000 wines. Our helpful guides will help you pick the perfect one. Over 2,500 beers, including 800 local favorites, perfect for game day or your crawfish boil. And over 3,000 spirits with the lowest prices in Louisiana. You can even order delivery or curbside pickup. So come explore your new Total Wine & More at 7074 Segan Lane in Baton Rouge.
Welcome back to the quickest podcast ever, brought to you by Kohl's.
Today's topic, fall style.
Wait, wasn't it just June?
Right? So I went to Kohl's.
Of course you did.
I got a cute Cara Santana for Nine West sweater for 25% off and a great pair of Vans.
Love Vans.
And saved 25% on a Champion hoodie for my husband.
Ooh, sounds cozy.
You should go. You'll get 15% off or 15, 20, or even 30% off with a Kohl's card.
BRB.
Select styles. Offer ends September 26th. Champion coupons do not apply. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
There's never been a better time to switch to Spectrum Mobile. You could save hundreds of dollars on your mobile bill. Plus, there are no added taxes, hidden fees, and no contracts, all on the most reliable service. Click to try the Spectrum Mobile Savings Calculator. In 3 easy steps, you'll see how much you could save with Spectrum Mobile. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save today. Spectrum Internet required. Savings may vary. Restrictions apply. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save for details.
Come explore the new Total Wine & More and discover the lowest prices and largest selection in the state. Explore over 8,000 wines. Our helpful guides will help you pick the perfect one. Over 2,500 beers, including 800 local favorites, perfect for game day or your crawfish boil. And over 3,000 spirits with the lowest prices in Louisiana. You can even order delivery or curbside pickup. So come explore your new Total Wine & More at 7074 Segan Lane in Baton Rouge.
The new Discovery Plus original true crime series, Curse of the Chippendales, explores how three men created a world of sex, greed, and murder that none of them can escape. Curse of the Chippendales, now streaming exclusively on Discovery Plus. Start your free trial at DiscoveryPlus.com. Terms apply.
Come explore the new Total Wine & More and discover the lowest prices and largest selection in the state. Explore over 8,000 wines. Our helpful guides will help you pick the perfect one. Over 2,500 beers, including 800 local favorites, perfect for game day or your crawfish boil. And over 3,000 spirits with the lowest prices in Louisiana. You can even order delivery or curbside pickup. So come explore your new Total Wine & More at 7074 Segan Lane in Baton Rouge.
Mmm, I'm loving McDonald's new $6 LSU Fan Faves meal.
Does it do that every time you open the wrapper?
No, sometimes it does this. But I like this best.
Touchdown!
Get 7 days of delicious with a new $6 LSU Fan Faves meal. Like Wednesday's spicy crispy chicken sandwich with medium fries and a medium Sprite for just $6. It's a different deal every day of the week. Prices and participation may vary. Promotion pricing may be lower than meal pricing.
The new Discovery Plus original true crime series, Curse of the Chippendales, explores how three men created a world of sex, greed, and murder that none of them can escape. Curse of the Chippendales, now streaming exclusively on Discovery Plus. Start your free trial at discoveryplus.com. Terms apply. The new Discovery Plus original true crime series, Curse of the Chippendales, explores how three men created a world of sex, greed, and murder that none of them can escape. Curse of the Chippendales, now streaming exclusively on Discovery Plus. Start your free trial at discoveryplus.com. Terms apply.
Career Builder is made for people who have that thing. You know, those superpowers that make you good at your job, the skills you bring to work. And Career Builder knows those skills make you right for other jobs too. Higher paying jobs with benefits. Jobs you never thought of trying. Are you a people person? Work from home as a customer service rep? Are you organized and like driving? Become a delivery driver. You have the skills it takes, and CareerBuilder.com has the jobs to get you hired fast. Visit CareerBuilder.com.
There's never been a better time to switch to Spectrum Mobile. You could save hundreds of dollars on your mobile bill. Plus, there are no added taxes, hidden fees, and no contracts, all on the most reliable service. Click to try the Spectrum Mobile Savings Calculator. In three easy steps, you'll see how much you could save with Spectrum Mobile. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save today. Spectrum Internet required. Savings may vary. Restrictions apply. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save for details.
The new Discovery Plus original true crime series, Curse of the Chippendales, explores how three men created a world of sex, greed, and murder that none of them can escape. Curse of the Chippendales, now streaming exclusively on Discovery Plus. Start your free trial at discoveryplus.com. Terms apply.
Welcome back to the quickest podcast ever, brought to you by Kohl's.
Today's topic, fall style.
Wait, wasn't it just June?
Right? So I went to Kohl's.
Of course you did.
I got a cute Cara Santana for Nine West sweater for 25% off and a great pair of Vans.
Love Vans.
And saved 25% on a Champion hoodie for my husband.
Ooh, sounds cozy.
You should go. You'll get 15% off or 15, 20, or even 30% off with a Kohl's card.
BRB.
Select styles. Offer ends September 26th. Champion coupons do not apply. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Come explore the new Total Wine & More and discover the lowest prices and largest selection in the state. Explore over 8,000 wines. Our helpful guides will help you pick the perfect one. Over 2,500 beers, including 800 local favorites, perfect for game day or your crawfish boil. And over 3,000 spirits with the lowest prices in Louisiana. You can even order delivery or curbside pickup. So come explore your new Total Wine & More at 7074 Segan Lane in Baton Rouge.
There's never been a better time to switch to Spectrum Mobile. You could save hundreds of dollars on your mobile bill. Plus, there are no added taxes, hidden fees, and no contracts, all on the most reliable service. Click to try the Spectrum Mobile Savings Calculator. In three easy steps, you'll see how much you could save with Spectrum Mobile. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save today. Spectrum Internet required. Savings may vary. Restrictions apply. Visit SpectrumMobile.com/save for details.
Whether it's absolute silence or lo-fi beats, you have a work style all your own. And Best Buy tech experts can help you get the right tech for you, available online, in-store, or in your home. Work for you space achieved. Details at BestBuy.com.
Come explore the new Total Wine & More and discover the lowest prices and largest selection in the state. Explore over 8,000 wines. Our helpful guides will help you pick the perfect one. Over 2,500 beers, including 800 local favorites, perfect for game day or your crawfish boil. And over 3,000 spirits with the lowest prices in Louisiana. You can even order delivery or curbside pickup. So come explore your new Total Wine & More at 7074 Segan Lane in Baton Rouge.
The Times, a daily news podcast from the Los Angeles Times, gives you the world through the eyes of the West Coast. Through interviews and original stories, The Times is a podcast you need to understand the world and how California shapes it. Because if an issue that's in California isn't in your town yet, it will be soon. New episodes of The Times are available every weekday. To find it, go wherever you get your podcast and search for The Times, daily news from the LA Times. Gracias.
Buy one, get one for a dollar at McDonald's.
or as we like to call it, the can't have just one deal. Mix and match a sausage biscuit, sausage McGriddles, McChicken biscuit, chicken McGriddles, or crispy hash browns. Want two sausage biscuits? Buy one, get one for $1. Want a sausage biscuit and hash browns? That's cool too. Choose more of what you love. Buy one, get one for $1 at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with combo meal.
Come explore the new Total Wine & More and discover the lowest prices and largest selection in the state. Explore over 8,000 wines. Our helpful guides will help you pick the perfect one. Over 2,500 beers, including 800 local favorites, perfect for game day or your crawfish boil. And over 3,000 spirits with the lowest prices in Louisiana. You can even order delivery or curbside pickup. So come explore your new Total Wine & More at 7074 Segan Lane in Baton Rouge.
If you qualify for Medicaid, you can get health coverage from Louisiana Healthcare Connections. As a member, you'll get up to $750 a year in adult dental care, plus unlimited doctor visits, prescription coverage, transportation to appointments, and more at no cost to you. With benefits for your whole family, we can help make getting healthy and staying healthy your way of life. To learn more about the health plan that's number one in member choice, visit ChooseLouisianaHealth.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the League Wraparound. Once again, a big special thank you to Carolina Teague, the co-host of the program called The Sports Dime, which airs Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Central on KLUP AM, 930 The Answer in San Antonio, Texas. She's a Chicago native and giving us the 411 on her favorite team, the Chicago Bears. She is indeed a diehard Bears fan and giving us great insight on her favorite team. All right, let's jump right to it now. Let's discuss Week 5's most important games in the National Football League. Let's start off with the Thursday night showdown between the Los Angeles Rams and the Seattle Seahawks. This is going to be one heck of a game. So early in the season, we have an NFC West division showdown between the Rams and the Seahawks. This is the making of a thriller. Matthew Stafford, Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, DeSean Jackson, Cooper Kupp, Tyler Higbee, Van Jefferson. We got Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey in the mix. This is going to be fantastic, and they're going to be playing at one of the loudest and one of the best stadiums in the NFL. That's Lumen Field in downtown Seattle, the Rams and the Seahawks. This is really going to be a must-win game for both teams so early on in the year. The Rams were embarrassed by division rival Arizona back in Week 4, and the Seahawks pulled off a tough one against another division rival, and that's the San Francisco 49ers. So this is going to be a fantastic game between the Rams and the Seahawks. Again, expect a lot of passing in this game, particularly with Matthew Stafford and Russell Wilson. Rams and Seahawks going to be very exciting. The next game that I picked as one of the most important games for Week 5 is going to be the New York Jets going up against the Atlanta Falcons. This is the first game of the season in the NFL's international series, where the NFL will be playing games in London. And the Jets and the Falcons, again, the Falcons lost a tough one to the Washington football team. Meanwhile, the Jets are riding a high, winning their first game of the year by beating the Tennessee Titans in overtime. Zach Wilson was very impressive in this contest. Matt Ryan is going to have something to say about this as they play across the pond against the Jets. Again, the Jet defense had its moments, but the Falcon offense is going to be looking to capitalize on the Jets' defense. Again, as I mentioned earlier, there's Matt Ryan. They also got Cordarrelle Patterson, who has been effective in the running game so early on in the season. Kyle Pitts has played pretty well. Hayden Hurst has been pretty decent. Calvin Ridley's been decent. So the Jets and the Falcons going to be an exciting game. This is going to be the first game this season, in the NFL International Series, with the game taking place in London. The next game that I have going to be previewing is the New Orleans Saints going up against the Washington football team. The Saints lost a tough one in overtime to the New York Giants. There's still some issues. Fans are really split on the quarterback position. A lot of people are saying that Jameis Winston is not really being handed the keys to the offense. He's being tolerated, but he's not being celebrated. Taysom Hill is they should get Taysom Hill should be in there. Some people are saying that Coach Payton is not really showing Jameis the proper respect. Well, one thing the Saints are going to have to show proper respect to is the Washington defense. Now, they've had a lot of injuries on the Washington defense. John Bostic is going to be out for quite some time. And then on the offensive side for Washington, Brandon Sheriff, one of the offensive linemen, is going to miss some time as well. So the Saints in Washington, they're going to be playing at FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland, one of the best stadiums to play in the NFL. I don't know what the situation is going to be at the quarterback spot with the Saints in Washington. It's been in limbo for a much part of the year, and it's going to be in limbo, quite frankly, all season long. As for Washington, pulled off a great come-from-behind win over the Atlanta Falcons. Taylor Heinicke is playing nicely, and he's settled and has gotten comfortable into this position as the starting quarterback for Washington football team. Terry McLaurin has played well. J.D. McKissic and Antonio Gibson, a great compliment to the running game. Logan Thomas has played well. So this is going to be a great game between New Orleans and Washington. The next game is going to be the Green Bay Packers against the Cincinnati Bengals. Green Bay, an impressive win last week at Lambeau Field against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Aaron Rodgers is in top form, and it seems that the Packers are in top form as they're still waiting for their offensive lineman, David Bakhtiari, to come back from his injury. Cincinnati pulled off a great come-from-behind win on last Thursday night against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Tyler Boyd, also Joe Mixon. Cincinnati looks very nice. That defense is pretty good as well with the likes of Von Bell and Trey Hendrickson. So Green Bay and Cincinnati, they're going to be playing in Cincinnati. This is going to be a great game. This is going to be really the game, I think, is going to be the game of the quarterbacks. Aaron Rodgers going up against Joe Burrow. This is going to be the reigning MVP going up against a future MVP. Green Bay, of course, at the peak of their powers right now. People were scared after week one against the Saints. Aaron Rodgers said, no problem, we got this. They've got this right now. Cincinnati riding a high right now again, winning the game last Thursday night against Jacksonville. So this is going to be a game of who's going to play better at the quarterback position, who's going to make the big plays, Aaron Rodgers or Joe Burrow. Should be an exciting game. Next up, we have the Cleveland Browns going up against the Los Angeles Chargers. For Cleveland, great win against the Minnesota Vikings. Defense really shined bright in this one with the likes of Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney got hurt in this game, but the Browns were able to still hold it together and make things happen, make plays happen. The offense did what they could. Baker Mayfield shined bright. Running game was decent with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, but Cleveland held their own. And now they've won two in a row, and they've got to go to a team that is on fire right now in the Los Angeles Chargers. Defensively, they're playing well. The running game has been great with Austin Eckler. The receivers are awesome with Keenan Allen, Mike Williams. How about a great addition to the tight end position with Jared Cook? He's been great so far this year. But what about the quarterback and only in year two, Justin Herbert? He has made big strides and leaps and bounds in his development as the Chargers' starting quarterback. I think he's an early candidate for the league MVP. He deserves to have that, to be in that conversation, and what he's done, and not just what he's done, but the Chargers have played well, winning impressively on last Monday night against the Las Vegas Raiders. So the Cleveland Browns and the Los Angeles Chargers at SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California, that's going to be a good one. Next up is going to be a division rivalry, the NFC West showdown between the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals. For the 49ers, losing a tough one to the Seattle Seahawks, a division rival. Jimmy Garoppolo has a calf injury. We don't know what he's going to do, but I do know this. Trey Lance came in and moved the ball downfield within the last maybe 7 or 8 minutes in the contest in that fourth quarter against the Seattle Seahawks. So even if Jimmy G plays in this game, we're going to see a lot more Trey Lance. And they're going to need it against this red-hot Arizona Cardinal team that's undefeated. Kyler Murray, put him in the MVP conversation. He's been effective. James Conner had 2 touchdowns last week against the Rams. How about DeAndre Hopkins playing well? Also, Christian Kirk playing well as well in the defensive side. You know, Hassan Reddick, Also, you've got a J.J. Watt. He's played well as well. The Cardinals are just they're doing it right now. Chase Edmonds, the running game, he's played well. A.J. Green is filling in nicely as well. Max Williams has been great as well. Jordan Hicks. What can you say about Jordan Hicks defensively playing well? Buda Baker's been nice. So this is going to be an interesting matchup between the 49ers and the Cardinals. We know San Francisco, they play everybody hard. That's just what they do. That's 49er football. You know, emphasis on that running game, big emphasis on the defense. And, you know, we'll score 9 points to win a game, or we'll score 27 or almost 30 points to win a game. Whatever the situation may be, we'll go out and we'll do it. So 49ers and Cardinals, Kyler Murray and that offense going up against that 49er defense and the 49er offense. Who will be the quarterback? Will Jimmy G play, or will Trey Lance get most of the snaps? It's going to be an interesting game with the Niners and the Cardinals. Sunday night matchup will be the Buffalo Bills going up against the Kansas City Chiefs, a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game, this game at Arrowhead Stadium between the Bills and the Chiefs. And this is going to come down to really quarterback play. Josh Allen going up against Patrick Mahomes. Josh Allen, again, is just at the peak of his powers right now. Again, you can put him in the MVP conversation right now. He's getting into the groove. He's making sure things are happening. He's getting his team prepared. And, you know, Josh Allen has been solid. Again, the Bills, they've only lost one game so far this year, and they're on a roll right now. They haven't lost since week one, and they're definitely on a roll right now. And, of course, they've got the receiving core with Stephon Diggs. Dawson Knox has played well at the tight end position. Defensively, they're doing well with Ed Oliver and Tre'Davious White. And they've got to go to one of the toughest places to play in the NFL, and that's Arrowhead Stadium in the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City had a must-win game against the Eagles last week. Patrick Mahomes and that offense seems to be in top form. Running-wise, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he found his way. Tyreek Hill showed up and showed out in this game. Travis Kelce played well. So this is going to come down to, can Kansas City's defense stop Buffalo's red-hot offense led by Josh Allen? And can Buffalo's defense going up against a resurging Kansas City Chiefs offense led by Patrick Mahomes? It's going to be Sunday night at Arrowhead, and it's going to be a good one between the Bills and the Chiefs. And the last game that we have is a Monday night showdown at Baltimore between the Indianapolis Colts and the Baltimore Ravens. We've got the Indianapolis Colts winning their first game of the year last week against the Miami Dolphins. The Baltimore Ravens, they had a game successfully beating the Denver Broncos. So the Ravens, they've only lost one game so far this year. Lamar Jackson, again, you could put him in the conversation again for league MVP. He's getting into a groove. He's getting into a rhythm. He's somebody he's finding himself very early on in the year. But not just with that, but you've also got a running game led by Latavius Murray, and also by the quarterback Lamar as well. Receivers are playing well with Hollywood Brown and their tight end Mark Andrews. Defensively, they've put it together. And they're going up against a team that's definitely trying to find their way. The Indianapolis Colts, Carson Wentz, he played in the game last week against the Miami Dolphins, despite with two bad ankles. We're still trying to figure out Indianapolis' identity. We don't know where they stand offensively. We know they have a talented quarterback. When he's healthy, he's one of the best in the league. The running game has been solid with Jonathan Taylor and also Marlon Mack. But, the Colts, again, a team that's definitely trying to find themselves, trying to find their identity. They're trying to find what works for them. They're trying to find out how can they make this thing work. And they're going to have to find out in a hurry, as they're going to be going to one of the toughest places in the NFL and M&T Bank Stadium in downtown Baltimore. That's Monday Night Football, Colts and the Ravens. Now it's time for my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the Cleveland Browns against the Los Angeles Chargers. The NFL is a quarterback's league, and we have two dynamic young talent. For the Cleveland Browns, Baker Mayfield, and for the Los Angeles Chargers, we've got Justin Herbert. First, for the Cleveland Browns, it seems as though the Browns could be taking the next step in the right direction and going further, not just in the regular season, but even in the playoffs. And defensively, Cleveland has played well as of late. They've got probably the best running back tandem in the league with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. But the NFL is a quarterback's league, and it comes down to quarterbacking. Baker Mayfield has got to be on point, not just for this season, but more importantly, for this game. Baker Mayfield has got to get going in this game. He didn't get going in the game last week against the Vikings due to his great defense, but they're definitely going to need his offensive presence to show up big in this contest against the Los Angeles Chargers. And also showing up big for the Chargers is quarterback Justin Herbert. Justin has shown up and showed out in this season, this early NFL season. And against this Cleveland defense, the Chargers are going to be depending on him to make key quality plays. Pass protection, they can give him the time that he needs. He can make plays to Keenan Allen, to Mike Williams, to Jared Cook, to Austin Ekeler, and so on and so forth. So this game is going to come down to the battle of the quarterbacks. And I expect a fourth quarter comeback from which team? You figure it out. But I tell you what, this is going to be a great game with two solid teams that are playing well in this early part of the NFL year. You got Baker Mayfield, you've got Odell Beckham Jr., Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Myles Garrett, and the crew would represent Cleveland, and you got the Chargers representing Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Ekeler, Jared Cook. Don't forget about that defense with Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram. Also cannot forget about Derwin James Jr. Also, you cannot forget about just so many great talented players on the defensive side for the Chargers. Asante Samuel Jr., who has been playing effectively, and Jerry Tillery has played nicely. So you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong with the LA Chargers. It's going to be a great game. Cleveland and the LA Chargers, my game of the week. All right, now it's time, before we get on out of here, before we close out the show, I'm going to give you my picks on who I think will win Week 5's most important games. I'm going to start off with the Thursday night game between the Los Angeles Rams and the Seattle Seahawks. I like the Seahawks to win that game. We've got the game in London between the New York Jets and the Atlanta Falcons. I like the Jets to beat the Falcons. It's going to be a close game in the DMV between the Saints and WFT, but I like Washington to beat New Orleans in a close one. The Green Bay Packers going up against the Cincinnati Bengals. I like the Packers to win that game. The Cleveland Browns and the Los Angeles Chargers, very close game, but I expect the Chargers to win that game. The San Francisco 49ers going up against the Arizona Cardinals. This is going to be a great game as well. I like the Cardinals to win that game. Sunday night, Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, the Buffalo Bills going up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Very, very close game, but I like Buffalo to beat Kansas City at Arrowhead. I like the Bills to beat the Chiefs. And on Monday night, the Indianapolis Colts going up against the Baltimore Ravens. I like the Ravens to easily beat the Colts. So again, my picks are Seattle, New York Jets, Washington, Green Bay, LA Chargers, Arizona, Buffalo, and Baltimore. So that takes care of that for Week 5's most important games. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of the League Wraparound. Once again, a big special thank you to Carolina Teague, the co-host of a program called The Sports Dime, which airs Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Central on KLUP AM 930, The Answer, in San Antonio, Texas, and a diehard Chicago Bears fan, giving us the insights on what's going on with the Bears and giving her thoughts on many things surrounding the Bears franchise. Until next week, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to the League Wraparound.